It's time for Operation Freedom with your host, Dr. Dave Janda, on Southeast Michigan's conservative powerhouse, Wham Talk 1600.
Welcome back to Operation Freedom, folks. I'm Dr. Dave Janda, broadcasting from our Freedom Bunker here at Wham Talk 1600. We're here every Sunday for you from 2 to 5 Eastern, also available on our YouTube channel 24/7. It's also called Operation Freedom. Easy to find. Just go to YouTube. Upload two new videos every week. In addition, we are available 24/7 at DaveJanda.com. We have the free, the public side, where we upload information on a regular basis, but where the heart of the matter, the heat, the heavy-duty information is in our subscription platform, 30 cents a day, $9 a month. I believe one of the biggest bangs for the buck in all the internet. You don't have to sign up for a year. You don't have to sign up for 6 months. Sign up for a month, $9. If you don't like it, get rid of it. I'm not sure why you would, because the information you get is light years ahead of where the information you'll ever see, hear, read, or experience through the bought off lamestream fake media, all available at DaveJanda.com. One of the issues that we have focused on with this platform over the years has been academic freedom. Now, one would think that we would have a multitude of folks from academia, you know, the intelligentsia, to come forward and speak about academic freedom. Folks, there are very few that have the courage in academia to come forward and speak about what's happening on our nation's campuses. But there is someone who has been a regular on this show, and every time she comes on this show, our listeners are in touch with me right away saying, you got to get Dr. McCutcheon back. Because listening to her is just like sitting in her classroom. And gosh, I wish I was closer to Marshall University so I could get involved in one of her classes. So here's her classroom on Wham Talk 1600 through our Freedom Bunker that we're honored to have her back with us on a regular basis. Dr. Robin McCutcheon, teaches economics at the Lewis College of Business at Marshall University in Huntington, West Virginia. In addition to teaching principles of economics with using the principles of free market systems, her comparative economic systems course, lovingly dubbed by students the Atlas Shrugged class, is well loved and attended by patriots in training, which are her students. She has been denigrated, hard to believe, by many of her liberal progressive colleagues as preaching propaganda. Okay, well, what does she use? She uses Ayn Rand and Ludwig von Mises to explain in plain English how our country's founding principles lead to free markets and are the best path to liberty, freedom, and prosperity for not just a select few, but for everyone. Over 90% of her students exit her courses avid and staunch libertarian or actually fiscal conservatives. She has earned her PhD degree in economics from the great Wayne State University. She teaches at the Lewis College of Business at Marshall University in Huntington, West Virginia. It's my honor to welcome back Dr. Robin McCutcheon. Robin, welcome back to Operation Freedom.
Well, thank you, Dave, for that wonderful introduction. Happy Independence Day weekend, and thank you so much for sharing your audience with me once again.
Well, Robin, it's always an honor and a pleasure, and our listeners just love being in your classroom. So, Robin, let's look at academic freedom. Let's look at where academic freedom was. Let's go 10 years ago. Let's go where it is today. And then let's go where you think it's going to be in 10 years from now. So let's start back past 10 years when you were winding through your PhD and the like. Where was the issue of academic freedom on the big academician radar screen?
Well, 10 years ago, let's see, 2009, the idea of academic freedom was generally not discussed among professors. I never heard the term in that time period. The professors that I worked with were generally socialist or progressive. In fact, I might let a little secret out. That famous school that you went to, I was there too once, not too long ago. Mm-hmm. And when I was interviewed for that job, I was told by one of the senior professors there that they were a very liberal arts university, and they were really only concerned that I follow a heterodox mindset as far as economics concerned. Now, what that means, that's code.
Yeah,
right?
Educate us on the code.
It's so a liberal arts university with heterodox economics means they're all socialists and they basically follow Marx. And truthfully, honestly, in that moment, I thought liberal arts meant classically liberal, as in conservative.
Mm-hmm.
And I had no idea what this word heterodox meant.
Mm.
I had to go look it up. So after I got the job and I looked up the word heterodox and I began listening to the faculty on campus there and the faculty in the economics department, I realized with a sinking feeling, I think I'm in the wrong place. I think I've made a horrible decision. And oh my God, how do I get out of this?
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't change what I was teaching. I taught those students at that particular university with the same fervor and passion about capitalism and free markets that I do at Marshall. And
now, did you get so back then, Robin, did you get a lot of blowback from the other professors at that point?
Oh, I have numerous funny stories, but let me tell you one. In the middle of the fall semester, shortly before you and I met at family weekend, I was encouraged to give a mid-semester evaluation to the students.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to ascertain whether I was someone they would like to invite back.
Oh.
And they were very conscientious of their students' opinions. And so I offered all of the classes I was teaching to submit this mid-semester evaluation, and the senior professor that had told me they were a liberal arts university and I needed to be heterodox, he came in and he conducted the evaluation, and everybody wrote out their paragraph or two of what they thought about my teaching and so on and so forth. And about a week later, the dean of that school got a letter from one of the parents, that might have been right around family weekend, got a letter from one of the parents who had met me and was so impressed, and they wrote the dean and they said, they said, wow, thanks so much for hiring Dr. McCutcheon. This is really great. Our student has flourished, and we're so, so grateful that those are the kind of professors you have at this university. And I received a copy of the letter.
Oh.
Dean got a copy of the letter, and the chair of the department got a copy of the letter.
Yeah.
And that very same day, the professor, I won't name him, the professor called me into his office to discuss the very serious issue of my talking about capitalism with such favor in the econ classes. And as he's got this stack of evaluations on his desk, and as he's frightening the crap out of me, and I'm thinking, oh man, I'm so dead here. The chair of the department kind of saunters into the office, and he's finishing up, you know, oh, I was just telling Robin, you know, we're not really sure that how she's teaching, and you know, I've got the stack of student evaluations. And the chair says to him, as she's sliding the letter from the parent over to the dean, she says, well, first, though, I'd like you to read this letter. And he's reading the letter on top of the stack of papers. He gets down to the bottom of the letter, and he looks at the chair, and she says, the dean thinks she's doing a really good job. And he takes the stack of evaluations and sets them on the floor. And then for the rest of the semester, they wanted me to conduct all manner of little workshops. Well, we want you to do a movie night for all the students. And, you know, they introduced me to the most Marxist of them all, and I don't even remember the guy's name, but
a big guy with a beard.
Yes.
Huh? Big guy with a beard. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. So he says, "Well, we really."
I think he had a picture. No, I'm serious when I say this. I do believe he had a picture of Marx in his office.
Well, when I was called into his office, I looked around at some of the books that he had.
Yeah.
And I was unsurprised at that point to find out that Das Kapital was placed prominently on the shelf right next to a book that he wrote about how great Marxism is. And so, you know, they wanted me to do a movie night for this place, and they really thought that I should expound upon the joys of socialism, and so he recommended that I show John Stossel movies, films, from Frontline. So I thought, okay.
All right.
So I went and found all of the free market John Stossel movies, and I showed them.
Well, I'll tell you, I was there before this happened with you, right?
A couple of decades.
Oh, yeah. But I'll tell you, back then, right, they called themselves, same place, market socialists, right? And they used to call me Capitalist Dave and Free Market Dave. Okay. But they had this, even back then, now this was a couple decades before you had this, they had this kind of tolerance for a different thought. Not that they really wanted to teach that, but I used to put them on the spot. This guy that you just talked about, this big guy with the beard and a couple of the other guys, and they all market socialism. I go, please educate me on market socialism here, because I'm hearing communism. This is Marxism. And you know what? And here's what they used to say, Dave, there is marketing and then there's reality. You're speaking reality and we're talking marketing. Right? So now in today's world where you have the AOCs and the whatever's talking about socialism and, you know, Bernie socialism, but you boil it down, when you boil it all down, it's communism.
Well, it's all about power and control, right?
Right.
All they want.
Right.
All they want is for you to just give over all the power of making decisions in your life to them. That's all they want.
Well, let me take you another. Back at this university where you were at later, a couple decades after I had been there, and you at a professor level as opposed to me at the schmo student level, right? They would have these, you know, these movie nights, and they'd have these, and they'd recommend certain books to read. Well, one of the profs said, first book we're going to read, you're going to read, is the first week of class is 1984. Right? Okay. So we get to, and here it was the premise the next week after we had a week to read it, 1984. Understand. Direct quote. It's our playbook. End quote. Now, this from a, quote, market socialist who was really a Marxist. It's our playbook. And this is what is going to happen in this country in the years and decades to come. When was that statement made? That statement was made the fall of 1979, right around in there.
Okay, but 1984 was written in the 50s, so they've known about this for a while.
Oh, no, they had the playbook for 20-some years.
Right.
But that was the direct quote.
Yes. Yes, so in 2009, 10 years ago, when I was at the same university you were at, you'll be shocked to find out that the kids loved what I was talking about. And the professors were so horrified that, I wasn't even invited back. Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
And in the fall of that year, so I moved to Marshall in the fall of 2010. And in the fall of that year, when they were advertising for a replacement for me, they actually put it in the advertisement that they were a liberal arts university and they wanted someone of heterodox mindset.
They learned. You taught them the lesson.
I taught them. I taught them all really
well. We can't have diversity of thought at this bastion of intelligentsia, right?
Right, right. Well, I don't think I've ever been listed in the long famous halls of intelligentsia.
Would it surprise you that they had asked me to be on the alumni board of this prestigious university, and after one term, my term wasn't renewed?
No, I'm totally shocked.
Yeah, I'd say,
So the other thing that I did while I was there, if I may just continue, because it does have to do with academic freedom, is one of the students who was there, a member of one of the most esteemed Greek fraternities on campus, SAE.
Actually, the most esteemed was Sigma Chi, but go ahead.
Well, my apologies. I have bad information but I was taking it from his lips.
Yeah, I got it.
He told me, as I was leaving campus, as I was moving out, he told me that the faculty were encouraging the university president to get rid of the Greek system.
Yeah, true.
And he was appalled. Mm. He was frustrated. He was mad. And I said, well, let's write a paper about it.
Mm.
And he said, great. And I said, listen, all I need is data. All I need is data on all the Greeks, and they wanted to, the professors wanted the university president to replace the Greek system with something they called residential life.
Right.
And so this guy, because he was president of the fraternity, he had all this data for all the fraternities, all the sororities, back to, you know, time immemorial, and he gave it all to me. And in this data, it had all the amounts of money that these very famous or people who went on to do really, really well in the business world, it had all the monies that they had donated to this university.
Mm-hmm.
And so in our paper, we laid out the proposition that if you get rid of Greek life, you're just cutting your throat for money.
All of a sudden it got dropped, right?
Oh! As soon as it was published, I sent it to this guy who was in his senior year by then, and he presented it to the president and the board of governors. And all of a sudden, Greek life was just fine. It's amazing.
Just kidding. So, let's move on. Right.
Right. Right. Yeah. So that was 10 years ago. So now, here we are in 2019. I start hearing all of these little stories around the country about professors who are fighting back to keep and hold their academic freedom. Now, I'm not saying it's me. It's probably not me. They're probably not listening. But all of a sudden, it's becoming crucial for people who are in academia to read their university policies to discover what is the university saying about academic freedom and supporting it. I even was contacted by a person who is part of a very famous university in Ann Arbor about academic freedom, about how to force the university to support the academic freedom that they say that they support. And I said, I downloaded all the policies from that university, and I said, it's right here, section something, paragraph something, you know, here's all of your evidence. All you have to do is have the balls to say to the university, you have to support our academic freedom because you have it in your policy.
Robin.
And so people, professors around the country are beginning to get it. They're waking up. They're pushing back. And that's exactly what we want.
Right. Well, and Robin, and we're speaking, folks, to Dr. Robin McCutcheon from Marshall University from Huntington, West Virginia. You know, Robin, I don't think it's by accident that this snowball is gaining momentum going down the hill, and I think a lot of that, and I'm truly sincere about this, because I've had a number of academics, professors, contact me, and by listening to you, they realized they were not alone in their respective universities. There's a very, very, very prestigious, well-known university in California that I can tell you we have a significant number of listeners from several very large departments on this show every Sunday and also on our subscription platform. And I can tell you, Robin, you minimize, you're very humble and modest, but since you started coming on this show, I can tell you the number of academic individuals and academic institutions that have contacted me has exponentially increased because of you motivating them and inspiring them to, if you will, fight this beast of censorship and oppression, which is occurring and has been occurring on university campuses now for decades.
10 decades, to be exact. So that's what I think a couple of times ago, a couple of interviews ago, I said, I think there are more people like me out there. I think that they're hiding. They're afraid. They think they're alone. But no, there's more of us. And you know what? I even have a socialist friend here at Marshall. I know it sounds weird that I have a socialist friend. But he doesn't want anybody to shut him up any more than I want anybody else to shut me up.
Right, no. I've never heard you, and I've never said that folks that are socialists or communists should be shut up. That's the beauty of this country, right? Put everything out there, let people decide, right, of what's accurate and what isn't, and what's the way, right.
Exactly so. And so in this day and time where we're in the age of information, how does anybody expect any kind of information to remain hidden? If you got skeletons in your closet, you may as well throw them out for everybody to see because they're going to be revealed. And academic freedom is one of those things that makes you secure in your position. So if you have tenure, if you're a professor listening and you have tenure, you go and look at those policies. That is your shield. That is your sword. And that's how you stay and fight. You fight for your own self, that you can speak in your class with freedom. You fight for your students to hear both sides of the story, both sides, so they can make the best decision for them. And that's the only way we defeat the socialist beast, is we have standing and we are solid where we're at, and we have our protection of our academic freedom around us, and we encourage everyone to speak. Everyone. We don't silence people, because if you silence people, you're just as bad as those, I had a four-letter word run through my head.
Good.
On the other side.
Right. And the president, Robin, recently came out with an executive order about blocking censorship on university campuses. You know, I mean, this is, it's ridiculous that it's to the point where a president of the United States has to issue a executive order, right, on free speech, a constitutional right for every American citizen.
Well, but he had to, right? Money talks. I can tell you 2 days after that little blip that President Trump wisely put out, it rippled through our campus. Whoa, we've got academic freedom. We've got freedom of speech. You can't shut anybody down. And I just started laughing.
Right. Yeah, look at Dr. McCutcheon. Look at Dr. McCutcheon. You know, before they're pointing at her. Hey, look at her. Look at her. She's our academic freedom. Yeah. Robin, how can folks follow you? Because they need to follow you on a daily basis.
Well, as always, I'm on ResearchGate. I'm on LinkedIn. And I'm at Marshall University. It's under the College of Business. So people are welcome to email me and contact me.
Helen, thank you so much, Robin, for everything you have done, are doing, and will do. You are a shining star, not just on our campuses for this country, but for every workplace. Folks, you're listening to Operation Freedom. I'm Dr. Dave Janda, broadcasting from our Freedom Bunker here at WAM Talk 1600.